We're in the book of Hebrews. That's a very interesting book. So much in it about the priesthood of Christ, about the a lot of it said in the tribulation period, looking toward the millennial reign of Christ. Notice it's written to the Hebrews. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You're not a Hebrew. That don't mean there isn't a lot of spiritual applications and a lot of applications that will help you as a Christian. But it comes to the doctrinal context here. It's written to the Jew. For the Jew, some of the verses will apply to you doctrinally and some of them will not. Got to keep the White House from trying to call me tonight. Turn his phone off. Yeah. We're going to be in Hebrews. We're going to finish up in verse 12. We're going to try to finish up with a chapter tonight. In verse 12, and we went over a lot of this last week on Hebrews 4:12, a very important passage of Scripture. He says, for the word of God is quick. That means it's alive. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you for this precious book, Father. Pray that we just go to it, believe in it, not try to correct it, not be a critic of it, but just let it speak to our hearts tonight, Lord, and let the words of God judge us tonight, not us be judges of the word, Father. Fill me with the Spirit of God and the power of God tonight, and we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. All right, here in verse 12, it said, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. Now watch it, and is a discerner. A discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's talking about that word of God. It will judge you. And that word of God, when you go to it, you need to go to it with your heart, right? If you go to it as a critic, it'll mess you up. It's a double-edged sword. It's a two-edged sword. If a man goes to that with pride in his heart and thinks he's going to show God something, or try to go to that book trying to prove his point to God, if the Bible says that word will confound the wise. So here it says in verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now Jesus said this. He said in John 12:48, he said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. My. When the unsaved man comes before that great white throne, that word of God will be opened up. And he'll be judged according to the record of his life and everything he did that didn't line up with the word of God, every sin that he committed, every idle word. It said that he hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now, all the men and women who have been critical of God's holy word will one day be judged by that same word that they were critical of. Charles Darwin's theory of evolution. He'll give account of that and how it lines up with the word of God. I imagine the Lord will start with Genesis 1. In the beginning, God. I don't think he'll get past that one. Usually, if a fellow don't believe Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. If he don't believe that, I can usually tell most of his political positions based upon whether or not he believes Genesis 1:1. If you don't believe God, you don't believe in the beginning God, then it's, boy, then it becomes every man for himself. No authority. Hillary Clinton, her stand for abortion, that'll come up against the word of God. Her avowed stand for the sodomite movement, judged by the word of God. Donald Trump, with that proud look and haughty spirit, will come up before a holy God. Hey, you'll find out I don't like any of them. I'm not into that. Bible says, he that warreth for warfare entangleth not himself with the affairs of this life. God will bring, Bible says, the heart of the king is in God's hand. Now, I'm hoping that the lesser of the rascals get in. I do hope that. And I'll probably vote for somebody who I wish I wouldn't have later. But Reverend Al Jackson, he'll stand before God. Reverend Al Sharpton, Dr. Joe Osteen, Pastor Tom Holt. But I won't be, I'll bypass that great white throne judgment. Some of those fellows, if they're saved, they'll bypass the white throne, but they'll appear before the judgment seat of Christ. When it comes to sin, my judgment was taken by Christ on Calvary's cross. For he became sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He judged sin on the cross. When I trusted in Christ, my life, I was born again, that new creature, my life is hid in God with Christ. Am I? Just thought I'd throw that in. But every motive will be revealed. The hearts will be open and naked. It's sort of like the Old Testament sacrifices. They talk about laying bare that offering, that sacrifice. The neck would be laid bare. Well, at the great white throne judgment, everyone man's life will be just open. Be judged by the word of God, Jesus Christ. All judgment was given unto him. And you know who wrote the book? Jesus Christ did. Every motive revealed by the penetrating discernment of the word of God. Psalms 139:2, thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. I found out that with God, I can't get away with anything. Now, I could always hide some things from my mama. May even hide a few things from my wife. Very few, honey. But with God, you can't hide anything. I mean, that heart, there's no encryption. Is that the right word? On those hearts, God sees it all. The word of God. But if you seek God with the right motive, that word will be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. And it'll cut through the darkness and it'll give you light. If you go to that book with a humble spirit and a believing heart, God will show you what you need to know out of that book. I commented to someone last week about Phil Stringer. He pastored Ravenswood Baptist Church in Chicago, and at the bottom of their statement of belief, he said that every Christian is responsible unto God according to that book. You're not responsible to me. You're responsible between you and the Holy Spirit and that book. I try to rightly divide the word of truth, try to preach it right, and then what you do with it's between you and the Lord. I don't tell folks what to do or where to go or who to hang out with or what who to run with or whatever. That's between you and the Lord. But if I'm preaching the book right, the effect of the Holy Spirit should guide and direct your life. But it's a two-edged sword. If you reject that book, it'll simply it'll blind you. You'll wander around aimlessly. You'll probably end up, you'll start out by different Bible versions because you don't like the one that so many souls have been saved out of. So you'll find a new version that kind of agrees with what you think about what it ought to say. Either that or then you'll end up on the internet just searching, looking what might be a better Hebrew rendering or Greek rendering and so forth. And it's probably because your motive's wrong. You just don't want to believe what God says. You seek him with the right motive, a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path. Wrong motive, it'll blind you. Acts 13:11. And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. That's a man who's not interested in the word of God, but he wants to find something that will agree with him. And it's... men are bad for that. We're all bad for that. We always seek out folks that agree with us. You can't approach the book that way. You've got to approach that book that it's the authority. And it may or may not agree with some things that you've got in your heart. And if it don't agree, you need to listen. You need to hear that still, small voice of the Holy Spirit as it lines up with a written word of God, and you need to try to get it right. If you have a desire to please God, you'll try to bring it in line with thus saith the word. See, the Pharisees, they went to that book with a wrong motive. And you know what God called them? He called them blind guides. Blinded. Because their motive was wrong. The prophet Isaiah said, hear the word of the Lord. Isaiah 66:5, hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. We don't have a whole bunch of folks that tremble at the word of God anymore. A lot of folks trying to be religious, but not too many tremble at the word of God. Acts 17:31, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world, how? In righteousness, by that man whom he hath ordained, Jesus Christ, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. See, God has committed all judgment to the Son. And you know what Jesus Christ was called? He's called the living Word of God. He's the final judge. Romans 9:17, a little sidebar. Paul said this under the direction of the Holy Spirit. He said in Romans 9:17, for the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh. Now, don't ask me to explain all this that I'm reading. I'm just telling you, I believe it. I don't quite have it all put together, but it says, for the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for the same purpose. You know that the Scriptures wasn't even written when Moses was dealing with Pharaoh? You study, let me move on. For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same person have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. And Paul is quoting a passage from Exodus 9:13, but when Moses went to Pharaoh, there was no written Scripture. But here in Romans, Paul said that the Scripture spoke to Pharaoh. Ain't that quaint? Jesus Christ is a personification of the Scripture. It says, and the Word was made flesh. In Revelation 19:13, it says, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Getting into kind of some deep theological stuff here tonight. Galatians 3:8, and the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And the Scripture preached. My. Psalms 138 and verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. I don't understand that verse. God, I do know that God pays attention to his word. It's settled forever in heaven. There it said he magnified his word above all his name. I wish I could tell you why that is or whatever. I just believe it. Bible says the secret things belong to God. But there it is. You do with what you want to. I do know that Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. The Bible says in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Jesus Christ, the Word of God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. My. Brother Estep said this. He says when he deals with the lost man, he always emphasizes that there's going to be judgment to come. Jimmy Hood used to do the same thing. He'd street preached a lot. And he'd say, we're sinners, Jesus Christ is the Savior, and there's judgment to come. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, judgment. Now here are a few verses. Ecclesiastes 2:14, it says, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Psalms 90, verse 8, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. Proverbs 15, 11, hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more than the hearts of the children of men? In the day, Romans 2, 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. You know who wrote that? The Apostle Paul. You know what the Apostle Paul said the gospel was? He said, for I have delivered unto you, first of all, that which I have received, that which ye have received, and wherein also ye stand, how that Christ died according to the Scriptures, and that He was died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. And said every man's going to be judged according to that gospel. Bible said, believe the gospel. That's believing that Jesus died for your sins, according to the Scriptures, that He was buried and that He rose again the third day. Have you ever embraced that? You ever received Him? Have you ever done that? Appropriated that for your salvation? I prayed with that fellow a while ago. I said, do you believe Jesus Christ is who He said He was? He said, yes, I do. I said, do you believe that He died for your sins, like the Bible says, that He was buried and that He rose again the third day? You believe all that? He said, yes, I do. Said, you understand you're a sinner? Said, oh, I know I'm a sinner. Then he prayed the sinner's prayer. He asked the Lord. He said, I come to you, Lord, the best way I know how, and I'm asking you to have mercy on me, a sinner. Said, I now receive you as my personal Savior. My. Hell and destruction are before thee, how much more than the hearts of the children of men. God sees it all. He knows me better than I know me. God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, Paul said. Another place Paul said, for you to be established according to His gospel. That's why some of the Hebrews don't apply to you doctrinally. If it don't line up with the Pauline epistles, which were to the church, for the church, you stick with your apostle, the Apostle Paul. He's your spokesman, just as Moses was the spokesman under the law, for the law. Paul's a spokesman to the church, the apostle to the Gentiles. Then, I'm in 2 Chronicles 6:30, then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place and forgive and render to every man according unto all his ways whose heart thou knowest. Then it says, for thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men. I wonder why our nation is going through such a spiritual crisis. Oh, another place the Bible says that God will answer a man according to his ways. He'll answer a nation according to their ways. Maybe we're getting what we deserve because of our wicked ways. We've expelled God from school. Kicked him out of school, kicked out the Word of God from the public forum. Done a lot of things that certainly don't line up with the Word of God. Psalms 139, verse 4, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. He knows what you're going to say before you say it. But thou, O Lord, I'm in Jeremiah 12:3, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Sometimes that's a prayer that'll make you feel warm and fuzzy. Other times it's a prayer that'll scare you to death. Going to God and knowing that he knows where my heart is toward him. He knows every motive I have for every prayer that I pray. Acts 17:31. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man who he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. All right, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. We're going to talk a little more about that verse in a little bit, because that's one that doctrinally you try to apply to a Christian and it don't work, but we'll put it in its place here in a minute. To the Hebrews. But he said back in chapter 3 that he is our high priest. Hebrews 3:1 said, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Our high priest is God, and he is God manifest in the flesh. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. He's been there. No matter what you've gone through as far as temptation goes, he's been there. He suffered. He was rejected. He was depressed. He was humiliated. He was tempted. He was falsely accused. He experienced sorrow. He experienced pain and grief. He wept in the garden. He experienced sadness and sorrow. He was in all points tempted, like as we are. In every area of life, he was tempted, yet without sin. That's our high priest, our holy, harmless, undefiled high priest. Now on the basis of that, verse 16, it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You notice what it said there? It says we are supposed to go and to him in the time of need. You know, we as Christians, we ask God for mercy and we ask him for grace and we ask him in the time of need. He's a present help in the time of trouble. I shall look into the mountains from whence cometh my help. He's our primary care physician. He should be. It don't say you leave the doctors out, but you go to God first. He'll direct you to the doctors. Nothing wrong with doctors. He called Luke the beloved physician. And another place he said, who needs a physician but him, he that is sick? So he said, if you're sick, you need a physician. But he's your primary care doctor, the great physician, Jesus Christ. You go to him first. Nothing wrong with medicine. The Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. That means that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine doeth good. That's telling you that medicine is good. But so many times we as Christians, we use God as our court of last appeal. Well, we can always pray. That's the first and foremost and primary thing that a Christian does is go to God. He wants to hear from you. My. He's our counsel. Bible says there's no counsel against God. 2 Samuel 22:2, and he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord. 2 Samuel 22:4. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. My. I'm afraid a lot of us have become wilderness Christians. We approach God like we don't belong to Him, like He don't care about us. And we'll live a lot of our Christian lives in the wilderness, just like anyone from the world would live. But we don't have to do that. You have not because you ask not. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We've got a high priest that we can go to. Not just some abstract thing called God. It's Almighty God with Jesus Christ as God the Son, our high priest seated on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for the saints. Intercession for us. Job 5:8. I don't remember if it was Eliphaz or who was advising Job, but they said here, I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. Is there a cause that you need to commit to God tonight? God hadn't gone anywhere. He's still waiting to hear from you. He's my high priest, and He's your high priest. If you're blood-bought child of God, you're bought with a price, and what God owns, He takes care of. Which of you, if your son asks a fish, will you give him a scorpion? Is that what the scripture says? Wow. He wants to do good things for you. He's your high priest. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. Tell it to Jesus. He's your high priest. And then in Ephesians 3:12, it says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. How? By the faith of Him. His faithfulness is what gives us access. Not ours. If we just have the faith of a grain of mustard seed and we go to God, God, I need you to do this. It's His faithfulness that moves the mountains. It's His faithfulness that gets the job done. I preached on that this morning at chapel at Cave Hill Christian Academy on faith. We come to Him with boldness and access because of Christ. I stand before you tonight and preach because of the faith of Christ, not because of, not by works of righteousness which I have done. I wasn't saved by my own good works. The Bible says, Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saves us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I got born again because of the Lord's faithfulness, a spotless, sinless, holy life, and then His holy sacrifice on the cross. And His glorious resurrection from the dead, in Him I have life. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And He wants me to be bold about it. Boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Brother Greer and Jeremiah and Brother Phil and I were talking about that little preposition of. Not talking about my faith, they're talking about His faithfulness that God honors. God the Father honors the faithfulness of His precious Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And when that fellow prayed that sinner's prayer tonight, he said, all this I ask in Jesus' name and for His sake. I say, God, I'm asking You'll do this. If there's any way within Your will, I'm asking that You'll do this, not for my sake, not because I've been such a good fella, but for Jesus' sake. You name that name of Christ, it opens up God's heart and His doors because of the name that's above every name. All right, and I've got one other thing I want to deal with here. We're going to back up doctrinally to verse 14, Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Historically, the context here is going to be, it's going to be in the tribulation. The Antichrist is going to be vying for the souls of men. And we understand that doctrinally this is speaking to the Hebrews in the context of the tribulation. And there are some elements in the tribulation that has to do with aligning. You either align with Christ or you align with the Antichrist. We know that the church has already been caught up to God. The rapture, the church is already gone. Is the historical context. Even though much of Hebrews you can apply spiritually, it'll help you. Let me see. During the tribulation, people have a choice to make. They either profess Christ or they profess the Antichrist, who will set himself up as Christ. Now, this is a sidebar to deal with this passage. Now, when you get over to 2 John... you'll find that anyone who refuses to confess Christ is called Antichrist. This is the spirit of Antichrist. So the saved will profess Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, and those who are unsaved will profess the Antichrist. The devil, who calls himself Christ, will set himself up as though he was God. So that's the contextual place for that verse of Scripture. The devil, the Antichrist, will proclaim himself to be Christ. And a person in the tribulation, in order to get into the millennium, he'll have to maintain that profession of faith. He'll have to endure to the end. He won't be able to take the mark of the beast or the number of his name, and he'll have to hold out. That's talking to those during the tribulation. We know that don't apply to us because the Bible says that we are those who are kept, how? By the power of God unto salvation. We don't keep ourselves. God keeps us. But what Paul said, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. The rules change in the tribulation. Church is gone. Remember, in the tribulation, that's not the new birth. Now, when the Jews get into the land during the millennial reign of Christ, God, there's a spiritual birth in collectively as a nation of Israel. God said he'll put his law in their hearts and so forth. That sign of circumcision that was given to Abraham will be fulfilled for the Jew collectively during the millennial reign of Christ. But here in the tribulation, there's no new birth. And so folks have to maintain their profession of faith. That's what that verse 14 was talking about. So Jesus is our high priest. And he says, come boldly. Another place, he says, let your request be made known unto God. Do we do that? Another place it says, you have not because you ask not. Have we asked him? Well, I've got this going on in my life, Lord, and don't know what to do about it. Have you gone to God with it? Have you prayed to God about it? He's your high priest. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Boldly, have you gone boldly before him and said, Lord, I wish if there's any way within your will, Lord, I'm praying that you'd heal me of this thing, Lord. I'm praying that you'd do this for me. Have you done that? Don't think that you're not dealing with a wimp. You're dealing with the Almighty God as your high priest. He is able, the Scripture says, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. My. Come boldly before the throne of grace that you might receive help in the time of need. When you come up to this altar, nothing magical or mystical about the altar, but it's just a place of humility. But you know you have a right to be there. You have a right to be there because of Jesus Christ. You have a right to be there because of what Christ did to become your high priest. Because of the faith of him. When he died on the cross, he send it into his heavenly Father. Send it unto his Father and place that blood into that Holy of Holies on the mercy seat. And he abideth. He liveth forever. He lives forever. Not like those Old Testament priests who if they'd put a long rope on those guys and bells on the bottom of their garments in case one of them died while it was in the holiest of holies, they'd have to drag him out. And they'd replace him with another one. And they'd have to make those offerings every year, continually. For there was remembrance from year to year of sin. Every year. But with Jesus Christ, we have a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he ever liveth. He entered in once into the holy place, once for all. He wants to hear from you. You're his people. You're the ones that he died for. Whosoever will, let him come. That's you. If you've trusted Christ, you're one of the whosoever will. I don't remember, it might have been D.L. Moody that said he believes that the elect is composed of all the whosoever wills and the non-elect are all the whosoever won't. But you're God's chosen people here tonight. If you've chosen, he's chosen you, you chose him. Not replacing the Jew, I shouldn't, God, that's another story. Not talking about that. But you're the body of Christ. Christ is seated on the right hand of the Father, and he wants to hear from you. He's your high priest. We don't have a little room set up where you go in and I get out my little book and start writing down all the Bible says. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. It's at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He's your high priest. Maybe we've forgotten that. Come boldly for the throne of grace. My, everyone stand up. I'm done tonight.